Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Aux, and we are starting with my boy Jeff, Jeffrey Dahmer. And apparently, Jeffrey Dahmer costumes are banned for Halloween this year. And we'll get into what that means, but first I want to talk a little bit about the show. No spoilers, don't worry. I couldn't spoil the show if I wanted to, because I barely watched it. So I was, I actually did watch the first episode and a half of the series Dahmer, which is taking the entire world by storm. And I couldn't make it through halfway past the second episode. And it was the most intense 45 minutes. I would say the first episode was the most intense 45 minutes of anything that I've seen. Not scary, not jump spooky, but intense and tense. It was just, the buildup was making me so uncomfortable. And that's part of the reason why I believe I didn't finish it, because I usually, when I do watch TV, it's usually at night. It's usually when I'm eating. I actually don't care about the cannibal thing while I'm eating. I watch the series Hannibal on Amazon, or I think it's on Hulu, I forget. Quite possibly my favorite television series of all time, Hannibal. And I had no problem watching that. You know, and they're eating people's liver, and he's watching, you know, Hannibal watches people eat human parts, and you know what that is. And I can eat dinner, I can eat my chicken parmesan, and I can watch Hannibal eat his breakfast sausage that is full of human innards. But the Dahmer series, the part where he takes the first victim in the first episode is almost a release. The most violent part of the episode is a release, because the moment's building up to it. You know what's going to happen because you know who Jeffrey Dahmer is. It's based on his life. It's based on a true story. I knew, in a sense, what was coming, what he was going to try to do to this guy. And I'm just waiting for it the whole time. And it's so slow, but it's so captivating, and it's so discomforting. And I'm just not in the right mindset at night to watch that, because I usually watch something more chill at night. You know, comedy, dark comedy, stand-up. I watch a lot of stand-up. So I think if I'm going to watch Dahmer, and I do think that I will finish the series at some point, it will be at a time when I'm not eating. Maybe on a weekend, I'll crush the series when I can. But apparently, the Dahmer costumes are banned for Halloween. This is an article from BuzzFeed called "Planning on Dressing Up as Jeffrey Dahmer for Halloween This Year? Don't." Which right away, I don't like, and I'm saying don't to describe the way that I don't like the word don't. I do not like the way that Vice articles and BuzzFeed articles are titled. You know what I'm talking about? Like when there's a controversial special that's about to come out, like Dave Chappelle's special, where he jokes about trans people, and the title of every BuzzFeed article is "Thinking of Watching Dave Chappelle's Special? Well, don't." And I'm just like, who the fuck do you think you are? How arrogant do you have to be one person writing an article on an act or a creation that millions of people enjoy, and you have the egotistical, you have the egotistical, like, just bravado to say that my opinion should be cast over society as a whole, that not, and the article doesn't say it's not for me. Dave Chappelle special, not for me. That would be fine. And I do, I really love Dave Chappelle. It's not my opinion at all, but I'm saying I would not have any problem with an article that said, yeah, you know, I don't find Dave Chappelle funny. It's not for me, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. I appreciate that. If someone wrote that about the podcast, you know, it would not feel great to read that, but I would still appreciate the person's opinion. But for someone to watch something or listen to something or have an opinion and just say, don't do this. Thinking of doing this? Well, don't. Thinking of watching this? Well, don't. Thinking of going to this Airbnb? Well, it used to be a slave cabin. Don't do it. So, don't. Planning on dressing up as Jeffrey Dahmer for Halloween. Jeffrey Dahmer for Halloween, excuse me, this year. Don't. eBay has banned the sale of costumes inspired by the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer in the run-up to Halloween for violating its policy on violence and violent criminals. A spokesperson confirmed to BuzzFeed News. A spokesperson confirmed to BuzzFeed News that the selling platform was actively removing these listings and that they were, quote-unquote, prohibited, although some listings are still active at the time of publication. Items that have been posted on eBay include an orange jumpsuit with a mask based on actor Evan Peters' portrayal of Dahmer in the Netflix series Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, and glasses that resemble ones worn by Dahmer. The company policy states that sellers are banned from listing items that promote, that this is a quote from eBay, quote, promote or glorify violence, or are associated with violent individuals, the acts for which they gain notoriety, or crime scenes from the past 100 years. This is what I don't understand. How do you ban Jeffrey Dahmer, who killed 17 people, but you sell Genghis Khan costumes, who was responsible for the death of over 40 million, possibly more? If you've ever listened to the series on the Khans, The Wrath of the Khans by Dan Carlin, Hardcore History, you know, it is unbelievable how much destruction and desecration that Genghis Khan and the Khans were responsible for. You know, some people estimate that it's 40 million. I've heard numbers like 70 or 80 million thrown around. And, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer murdering 17 people brutally is nothing to, you know, swat your nose at. That's still horrible. One person is horrible. But if you're going to ban something on the grounds that it's violent or it's responsible for death or it's promoting death, then that basically eliminates 85% of Halloween costumes. They do, so eBay does throw in this weird stipulation. They say the company policy states that sellers are banned from listing items that promote or glorify violence or crime scenes from the past 100 years. Like, they probably just added that in for Jeffrey Dahmer. Because if eBay just left it as promote or glorify violence or are associated with violent individuals, you know, Freddy Krueger is someone who promotes or glorifies violence. You know, even superheroes, Marvel characters, there's a lot of violence in those movies. And I like a lot of those movies. And I think that people should wear Halloween costumes that promote or glorify violence, because that's the point. If you want to, it's a day where you can be something where you're not that person or that being for the rest of the year. It's the one day where you can go out and you can say, I'm here, I'm going to dress up like a serial killer, and I'm letting it all out. I'm letting it fly. I'm letting my freak flag fly. I am Jeffrey Dahmer. And not even Jeffrey Dahmer. These people are obsessed with the Netflix series. That's the whole reason why Jeffrey Dahmer's trending now as a Halloween costume. It's not because like people didn't all of a sudden go like, oh, I think I'm going to, you know, do an homage to Jeffrey Dahmer, the guy who died decades ago. No, it's the portrayal of Jeffrey Dahmer by Evan Peters that people are, they're homaging to, or they're representing. At least that's how I see it. It's the Netflix series. People want to wear this costume and they want people to go like, oh, Jeffrey, you're Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh my God. Like that's the whole rush that people get in Halloween. You wear a costume. You want to pick something that's pop cultural within that year. You know, you want to be relevant. And then you want to walk into a party and you want people to go like, dude, oh my God, are you him? Is that, that's Jeffrey Dahmer, dude. Yes, I got, and that makes you feel good. And that's what people are trying to do. And because Dahmer's so big right now and it came out recently, that's what people are going for. They're not trying to be like, oh my God, are you Jeffrey Dahmer, the fucking, you know, the actual serial killer? Are you saying that you support Jeffrey Dahmer? No, you're trying to make something. You're trying to wear something that reminds people of the, you know, the Netflix series and the popularity of it and all the shit that goes with it. And I like how the crime scenes from the past 100 years stipulation is on eBay, because it's like after 100 years, eBay is basically saying like, yeah, we're okay with serial killing. It's just like the first 100 years after, we're not on board with it. But, you know, once the time lapses, we're off, like it caps off, you know, box is open. You could be Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, go for it. You could be fucking John Wayne Dacey. You could be, you know, Ted Bundy. Once the 100-year clock is up, we don't have an official corporation position on serial killing. It's like, how does that matter? How does the amount of time that passes between Jeffrey Dahmer slicing up people's bodies and eating them ferociously, how does the amount of time that passes have any stipulation on whether you are for or against something as a corporation? To me, that doesn't make sense. It's pretty funny. It's like they are treating serial killing, eBay is treating serial killers like the US government treats top secret documents, where after 50 years or 100 years, whatever, the government will release what actually happened to JFK or declassify the Watergate scandal, shit like that. Like eBay is thinking that this needs some sort of top secret evaluation from the top down. And Jeffrey Dahmer, they're just like, yeah, you know, we got to put a lid on this for 100 years. This is a crime scene from within the past 100 years. We can't let people go out in public dressed like this guy until at least 2084. Because that is our duty as a company that literally sells things that people want and allows you to put things up as a seller, buy them as a buyer. If the people want it, they're going to buy it. So what about Spider-Man? He's pretty violent. Spider-Man kicks the shit out of people, and thousands of people dress up as Spider-Man every year. And I know that Spider-Man and Jeffrey Dahmer obviously are totally different. Spider-Man wears a mask when he beats the shit out of people. I'm just kidding. Jeffrey Dahmer is consuming people and hurting innocent people. Spider-Man is your local neighborhood hero, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. But still, he, you know, in a way glorifies or promotes violence. So if they want to be consistent with company policy, you got to ban everything. Got to get rid of the Spider-Man costumes, got to get rid of the Thor costumes, got to get rid of Freddy Krueger, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know. And I can see where eBay is coming from on this. Because Jeffrey Dahmer is representative of a real person. It's not just a character. But doesn't the character make it worse? Because if you're dressing up as a violent character for Halloween that doesn't exist, your imagination can take over and make you do whatever that character wants to do. You can basically rationalize any violent act to fit within that of a character. Like, if I assume that eBay is worried about the connection between violence and the costumes that portray violent individuals. I dressed up as the Joker last Halloween. If I was dressed up as the Joker and I was connecting the character of the Joker to violent acts that the Joker could commit, I could do way more shit than Jeffrey Dahmer, because the Joker was trying to blow up cruise ships. He's, you know, breaking into banks, stealing school buses, hanging innocent people out windows. The Joker's trying to take down an entire city. Jeffrey Dahmer's just picking off a few here and there. Jeffrey Dahmer's like fucking Jesus compared to the Joker. The Joker literally wants Gotham City to burn to the ground. Jeffrey Dahmer's more just like, yeah, I'm kind of chill. Like, when he's not eating someone, when he's not killing someone, he's pretty chill. Like, if it was an off night for Dahmer, if he took a night off from, you know, tying up another dude, and, you know, he got it out of his system, and, you know, would I record a podcast with him? Yeah, probably. Yeah, that'll be fun. Why not? It's like recording a podcast with a lion that just ate. I'm not worried about getting eaten. I'm good. If you're a gay black guy, though, you should probably watch out, though, because Dahmer could eat one of those at any time. What if some guy dressed up as Dora the Explorer for Halloween? What if some guy dressed up as Dora the Explorer and shot up a Halloween party? Like, just full, just went into a Halloween party, Dora the Explorer, just oozy, just like... Would eBay be like, well, at least that guy wasn't wearing a Dahmer costume. You know, at least he wasn't breaking policy. Sure, he murdered 37 innocent people by bringing an Uzi into a Halloween party, but he wasn't wearing the Dahmer costume. So that is okay. That is for company policy. He was wearing a Dora the Explorer costume, which is completely within grounds of eBay. We 100% support that. The worst thing that could happen is if someone wears Dahmer. That's the worst thing that could happen. I just don't get the connection. It's like, you know, a little bit like violence in video games, like playing, you know, being violent in a video game is somehow going to cause you to commit violence in real life. This is sort of like the fashion version of that wearing something that is representative of a violent individual or character somehow going to see, like, the fabric of this person is going to seep into your veins, and you're just going to start thinking like Jeffrey Dahmer and thinking like, you know, fucking Ted Bundy. And you're just like, oh my God, like, you look in the mirror and you just go, you're in the mirror You're in the bathroom doing cocaine at a Halloween party. You look in the mirror and you're like, fuck, am I dumber? And you walk out into the living room and you're just looking around at people like, who the fuck am I gonna kill? To be fair, I did dress as the Joker last Halloween and I did walk between a few cars as they were driving just to see how it would feel. And I did hang a guy out the window, but that was just because I wanted to see how it would feel. I wasn't doing it because I felt compelled by the costume. I saw a guy, I took him up to the ninth floor, you know, I hung him out the window. He was dressed as Batman, so he was asking for it because Batman hung me out the window in the Dark Knight, so I thought I had to, you know, get him back. And that was it. I didn't feel destabilized by the Joker costume. I did it under my own volition. So yeah, I say, if you're going to worry about Halloween costumes, the number one thing you worry about is weapons. First of all, the Dahmer costume is just glasses and the shirt that he wore in the series. If you're going to make regulations for Halloween, fucking watch what people bring into parties, because you could easily bring in a knife or a gun, an axe, something, because if you could literally walk around with a samurai sword on October 31st and go into a bar with a samurai sword holstered in your waistband, dressed as a samurai, and everyone around you will go, yeah, that's fake. It looks real, but people are just assuming it's fake. You can get away with almost anything on Halloween because people just assume everything's fake and it's part of a costume. If you walked up to a bar just holding a sword and your ID on November 2nd, you would get arrested in 42 seconds. Hopefully. I mean, the cops in New York City have seen a lot, so maybe they just be like, oh, it's another one. But if you're gonna guard against anything to restrict people's costumes, the weapons, dude. The weapons. So let's do a lab leak update. This is about, you know, ferocious Fauci. And Fauci was caught funding the same research that led to the COVID-19 outbreak. And I want to play this clip from Breaking Points. It's about a 3, maybe 5 minute clip. And this is from the Breaking Points podcast with Crystal and Sagar. And this basically summarizes some recent events that have been going on that we all should be concerned with, because it seems like Fauci is not concerned with another outbreak based on the choices he's been making recently. So here's a clip from Breaking Points, and then we'll get into it. Let me just unlock my phone. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Boom.
Well, there's been so much going on in the world, it literally feels dizzying, of course, taking attention off many, many topics. But if we proceed under the hope that I maintain there will be no nuclear Armageddon, then it is still important to pay attention to the other big stories that mattered in the before times. The biggest before Ukraine was COVID. The COVID pandemic, the embrace in this country of a new regime of censorship, of social control, unprecedented elite consensus about what everyone should do with their own bodies. I've always said it's impossible to decouple policy that followed from the pandemic from the debate about where COVID came from in the first place. The authoritarianism and corruption that stopped legitimate inquiry into whether COVID leaked from the lab was a microcosm of exactly what went wrong with the debate in the first place. Developments this week prove exactly why, more than 2 years later, the inability of the media or elite to ever have an honest conversation with America leaves us more vulnerable today than ever before. And that latest development in the lab leak story is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dr. Fauci, in the waning months of his tenure as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is giving out a grant for research on bat coronaviruses. If that grant of research wasn't bad enough, the person who was awarded the grant is none other than Peter Daszak, who is the head of EcoHealth Alliance. If you are not familiar, let's take a trip back down memory lane. Peter Daszak and the EcoHealth Alliance are the organization which received a grant from Dr. Fauci and the NIAID before the COVID-19 pandemic. It served as a cutout for funding of something called gain of function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That type of research effectively involves brewing up new types of viruses in the lab for the purpose of trying to predict future pandemics that might arise naturally and then creating vaccines or antidotes to those viruses. The research was actually barred by the Obama administration for being too risky in 2014. It was, though, violated and eventually reversed by Dr. Fauci under Donald Trump. The key to that story is that Fauci's funding of gain-of-function research at the lab and the role of Dr. Peter Daszak was a major point of vulnerability in the opening days of the pandemic when emails revealed that the initial reaction by those who looked at the emerging coronavirus in January of 2020 was COVID-19 almost certainly came from a lab. As I have shown here before, with government documents since released, in the span of just 2 weeks, a full-blown cover-up ensued. Dr. Fauci, working with others who relied on him for grant money, actively got a false article published which declared that COVID did not leak from the Wuhan lab, setting the scientific consensus. That paper served as a justification for a now infamous letter published by The Lancet in February 2020, which, quote, strongly condemned any rumors or conspiracy theorists, so-called, who believe that COVID came from the lab. From there, the position became doctrine, and it was impossible to question. Twitter accounts were suspended for suggesting it. YouTube accounts were disabled. Full-scale censorship at the highest level of our government. And then the facts began to come out. The first crack in the establishment's armor was Daszak himself, who might be one of the most corrupt figures in this story, other than Fauci. Daszak was appointed as a member of the World Health Organization's task force responsible for investigating whether COVID leaked from the lab in the first place. Miraculously, guess what they found? It didn't. The justification? Well, he had no access to the data, but he took the Chinese word for it. Seriously, that's what he said when he was pressed. Let's take a listen.
We met with them. We said, do you audit the lab? And they said, annually? Did you audit it after the outbreak? Yes. Was anything found? No. Do you test your staff? Yes. No.
But you're just taking their word for it.
Well, what else can we do?
From there, things began to spiral. The former CDC director, Robert Redfield, told Dr. Sanjay Gupta on CNN he believed from the beginning COVID leaked from the Wuhan lab, that he had seen evidence to back that up, and that he was retaliated against by the bureaucracy from believing it. From there, reams of evidence began to pour out that I've covered here before. Research showing sickness coming out of the lab in November 2019, athletes getting sick in China, search data for symptoms of COVID, the fact that the structure of the virus itself has always looked to be lab-made. At this point, even the scientific community and the medical journal The Lancet have retracted its declaration that there is no way COVID came from the lab, and at least admit today it is just as likely that it did, just as likely that it didn't. Given the amount of evidence to show a full-scale cover-up by the Chinese, starting in September 2019 onward, I have no doubt that it did leak from the lab. But okay, let's say we don't know. That's just conjecture on my part. Let's say there's only a 50% chance. 50% is pretty damn high for a virus that killed millions of people. And worse, a virus created with research possibly funded by the United States. If the risk is that high, then maybe we just shouldn't do that research at all anymore. That's the problem with what has occurred. After everything, after the exposure of Daszak as a liar and a Chinese stooge, as himself active in the cover-up campaign to save his own ass and Fauci, Fauci still on his way out gives him a U.S. government grant to research bat coronaviruses in Southeast Asia. Have we learned nothing, people? Studying these viruses and engineering them may have started this whole damn thing. You're going to fund the same guy who literally funded the Wuhan lab?
So, yeah, thank you to Crystal and Sagar of Breaking Points podcast. So, yeah, basically, there's a lot of evidence that seems to show that Fauci did everything in his power to cover up a leak from the Wuhan lab that, you know, there's also evidence to show that the United States was funding it. at least partially. And Fauci was manipulating publications, scientific publications, in order to back up the fact that it didn't leak from a lab, even though early on, and the evidence continues to compile that, yeah, probably did. So even if you fucked up like Fauci, like if you take out the lies from Fauci and you just have the fuck up, which is funding research in a lab to create monster viruses without accounting for the fact that these labs are not equipped to guarantee that the virus will not get out. Even if you make a major fuck up like that, that could put the entire population's health at risk, which we saw what happens when the virus gets out of a lab. And we were frankly lucky with the severity of this virus, because it could have been much worse if the virus was more monstrous, more deadly. You know, maybe 50 million people die instead of a few million people. But even if you have that fuck up, if you know that you fucked up and you are backtracking and you don't want people to know that it leaked from a lab, what would motivate you to then do the same mistake over again, which is continuing to fund the same type of research? Which is, it baffles me, because I'm just thinking about human nature. Like, if I was Fauci and I was funding research that led to the coronavirus outbreak, allegedly, why, like, I wouldn't want to even come close to that, because the fact that he's not in jail means that he dodged a bullet. So why would you go back again and then refund the same source that is having the same practices and has the same goal that led to the coronavirus outbreak? Like, what part of human nature allows for that? It's so, like, Fauci funded the research, the pandemic happened, he covered it up. And in terms of, you know, getting away with it, you know, he came out pretty unscathed in terms of not facing any legal action. You know, there's a large chunk of the population that thinks he's a hero, all this stuff. He came out pretty unscathed. So why would he not just go away for good and not draw any attention to himself? Why would he then slip in this funding at the last second to support the same research that led to the COVID-19 outbreak? It just doesn't make sense from a human nature standpoint. If I get caught doing something and I get away with it, I would never fucking, like I would just be like, I fucking got it. Like, you know, you steal $1 million, you rob a bank, you steal $1 million. I'm just like, I'm good. You know, as I'm talking about it, I'm realizing that no, that is not human nature. You actually do want to do it again. So I'm completely wrong about that. I'm like, yeah, you know, this is a good example of me realizing that one of my premises is wrong that I came into the podcast with, because I'm like, yeah, if I robbed a bank and I stole $1 million from it, I would just go away and be like, I'm good. I don't need to try to do that again. Of course I would try to rob another bank, because you want the fucking rush, dude. You want to walk in a fucking suit like Johnny Depp in Public Enemies with a AK-47 pointing at the fucking cashier, put a gun in his mouth and say, give me your fucking money, and then watch him shake. You get away. You go on to the next one. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe the rush of just like an insane power trip at the highest political levels just makes you want to do shit again and again and again even if it puts the entire globe at risk. Like, you're so disconnected from reality if you're in Fauci's position. You know, you're writing books during the pandemic. People are filming, like, you're releasing documentaries when you know, all your time should be spent trying to save people's lives. And you just get caught up in this snowballing, celebritized scientific narrative that maybe he started to believe it. And people around him are like, yeah, you made the right decision. You made the right decision, like all these yes men and women. And he's like, you know what? Fuck yeah, I did. Fuck him. And he just raises two fingers and he says, fuck you on the way out. And he gives, you know, millions of more dollars to this coronavirus research, the same type of research that led to the coronavirus outbreak on the way out. That's how fucked up it is. So maybe that is human nature. You get away with something. You do a heist, you lay low for a little bit, and then you fucking do it again. Here's another possibility, though. What if we're performing gain-of-function research to weaponize monster viruses under the guise of health research? So, Fauci and other institutes are funding the coronavirus research, the same type of research that led to the initial outbreak, the gain of function. What if the reason why this funding is continuing is not because we're worried about people's health, we're not trying to craft these monster viruses at insanely high speeds in order to prevent future outbreaks? What if we're doing this as some sort of arms race, but virus version? You know what I mean? Like the nuclear arms race, the Cold War, where the United States and Soviet Union are, you don't really know what the other side has for sure. You're building up technology, nuclear weapons, space launch technology, all these things behind closed doors. What if we're just funding this type of research to build something for that type of situation? You know, we're just trying to make the best virus, because in the future, maybe it's going to be all biological warfare. Nuclear weapons will be out and we'll just be fucking releasing viruses in the countries that we want to take over, wipe them out. And the ruse of, yeah, we're doing gain of function research for health. We believe it's going to, you know, create these viruses so we'll know how to stop it in the future. It just doesn't make sense. Like, the whole concept of gain of function research doesn't make sense, because again, I'm not a virologist, which is a surprise to nobody. But how I understand gain of function research is that you take these viruses, which normally take decades or centuries to evolve to an enormously dangerous level, like COVID-19, and you take these viruses and you run them through animals like ferrets. You run these viruses through and through and through and through artificially. You're also manipulating them artificially so that you can basically jumpstart the natural process of nature taking these viruses and making them dangerous over time, and doing this within a span of months or years. You know, the COVID-19, which may have never come out if this didn't happen from a natural occurrence. Maybe it would have taken 300 years for this virus to get to the strength that it did in 2019. And with gain of function research, the goal is to try to add functions to viruses quickly. And the premise is that you're trying to study these viruses. You're doing it because you want to understand these extremely dangerous viruses in the case that one of these viruses gets out in the future. That is my very basic layman, dumbass person understanding of what gain of function research is. But logically, think about that. You are creating monsters in a lab, labs around the world, because it's not just the Wuhan lab that's doing this. There's many labs doing this, gain of function research. You're creating these monstrous viruses in order to study the effects of them in labs that are not equipped to guarantee that these will definitely not get out. Labs or viruses leak from labs every year. This happened. This is a semi-normal occurrence that a virus will get out of a lab that's studying viruses. It's just, you know, almost every time. It's usually just not a virus like COVID-19. But viruses jump from labs all the time. And we're basically studying viruses on steroids in these same labs that can't guarantee that they won't get out. And we also don't have, you know, vaccines for these viruses. We have to create them. So what is the cost benefit here? The benefit is that we may create a virus and then as a result find a vaccine for a virus that may or may not be released into nature of natural causes in the future. Because that's basically what I understand the idea is that like we want to get ahead of nature, create these viruses so that if it does come out in the future, it gets released into the population of natural causes. We already have this virus. We know this virus. We have a vaccine for it. We can nip it in the bud. That is the benefit. The cost is we make a monster virus. It gets out. It kills the entire human population or millions of people like what just happened. So I don't get like it. I must be missing something. I know I'm missing something with gain of function research because it just seems so obviously bad. Like no one in their right fucking mind would be like, yeah, you know, let's have these microscopic things in a room that could kill humanity. I just raise my hand in a meeting and be like, hey, so like, what's the chance that one of these might get out? It's like, you know, 1%, like it's pretty low. I'm like, okay, well, pretty low, like 1%. That's like one out of every 100 viruses we study. Like we study hundreds of viruses a year. Oh, well, yeah, 1%, still pretty low. But yeah, virus could theoretically get out of the lab. Okay. And so what type of viruses are we studying again? The most dangerous viruses known to mankind, the type of viruses that may be able to kill us in the future, wipe out humanity. Oh, okay. So you're studying a virus in a lab that can wipe out humanity. And also there's a decent chance that this virus gets out of the lab and wipes out humanity. Okay, got it. What the fuck are we doing? God damn, dude. And all of this shit, like Fauci using his connection to get scientific articles published saying it didn't come from a lab based on nothing. And then he pointed to the quote unquote science so he could condemn anyone who went against it. That's as demonic and twisted as it gets. Essentially pulling science out of your ass that isn't actually science and then using that bullshit science, putting it, you know, using your connections to get it published. By the way, I believe the articles that were published early on in The Lancet and the other one in Science Magazine that he was talking about in the clip, I believe those have both been retracted. Should never have been published in the first place. And then Fauci would point at the articles and be like, look, these people are saying that it definitely didn't come from a lab. Even though he, you know, was the one who put it there. And it was not based on any evidence. And so the science comes out. And then people don't know that it's all bullshit. And then anyone who says, hey, I think this might have come from a lab is like, you're just canceled. You're just, you look like you're a, there's a lot of forethought in this, I'm realizing, because right now in society, one of the worst people you can be is someone who's anti-science, you know, in terms of getting labeled as someone untouchable, getting labeled as an outcast from society, like a climate change denier, a flat earther. Like, you want to be, if you're trying to push a theory, if someone's trying to push a theory that you don't want to spread, like if someone figures out this came from a lab and you're Fauci, you need to be able to paint that person as an untouchable. And so what makes someone untouchable in the science world is that you're anti-science. So Fauci can point to legit publications and say, hey, look, this publication, one of the top scientific publications in the world, is saying that it definitely didn't come from a lab. You're anti-science. You're now in the same category as like flat earther, lab leakers, anti, you know, climate change. So you can get grouped in with those people. And by the way, I'm not condemning scientists. I'm condemning the bullshit scientific hierarchy that led to this whole clusterfuck that cost millions of people their lives. That changed, literally changed the face of humanity. It's so fucked. So the last thing I'm going to get into is Twitter bots. And this is going to be the last topic on Twitter is going to be a mini episode on Auxoro Premium. So if you want to hear that rant on Twitter, apparently over 80% of Twitter is now bots. And that will be available on auxoro.supercast.com. So you could head over there if you would like to listen to that mini episode. I release a few mini episodes a month, plus a full-length bonus episode of The Aux. So you can head over there and see what bonus material is behind the paywall, $5 a month. So if you want to do that, that's cool. Also, if you want to just stop listening here, that is perfectly okay as well. I thank you for your support. I love you guys so much. I really do appreciate the people who tune in and listen to these, you know, rants that are hopefully, you know, a little bit informative, a little bit entertaining. I have fun doing it. I hope you guys have fun listening. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next time.